choice for a thief trying not to give herself away with too much sound. But then, as for the skill Shadow of the Leader, which she had taken as a secondary? I called up the in-game information and read the description. Shadow of the Leader, former name Acolyte. A skill that allows the lower-level companion of a strong leader to project some of their master's glory onto themselves and act as their representative. As this skill grows, it will allow the companion to receive increased experience and boost their basic statistics. The effect is linear, based on the difference in levels between master and companion. Attention! This skill will not work or level if the companion and master are equal in level, or if the companion has surpassed the master. I'll admit, this was a very strange choice for Taisha, considering that, after using the Ifrit Heart, the thief was higher than me by 10 whole levels. It would be quite a long time before my companion could get even a slight return from this new addition. All right, noted. I looked a bit further through the information. Next missions to trigger. Taisha's Envy. Normal. Personal. Taisha's Disenchantment. Unusual. Personal. Taisha's Rebellion. Unique. Personal. I could receive a unique quest? Would you look at that? My experience as a player in all kinds of computer games was simply screaming at full volume that I must not miss this chance under any circumstances. I would have to create the necessary conditions to receive the unique mission, even if the Taisha's Rebellion name implied something problematic. The names of the other quests were also not too positive either, in fact. So then, finally, Taisha's opinion of me. Now that was unexpected. Just plus 50? Friendship? Considering the positive modifiers, the base value was just a pitiful plus 30. How? Not very long ago, her opinion was the maximum possible, plus 100. I also had a crazy high bonus guaranteeing that any check for Taisha's approval would succeed, excluding only the very most impudent and ill-advised. I had also fulfilled a bunch of quests, raising Taisha's opinion of me. Where had that all gone? It seemed the time had come to wake the NPC thief and figure this all out. But how should I wake her up? With a tender kiss? A shake? Or maybe a firm slap on the behind, in order to immediately show my upset mood? The beginning would determine the rest of the conversation, or so I thought. Successful perception check. Experience received. 40 experience. I noticed a flicker in Taisha's eyes through her squinting eyelids. The girl was not asleep, and was watching me carefully. All right then, one problem down. How am I to understand your behavior with the djinn and stealing the valuable alchemy ingredient from my inventory? I decided to go right on the attack. Taisha stopped pretending and opened her eyes. With a languorous stretch, she sat up on the bedroll and answered with two questions.
What has you so surprised, Amra? The fact that I didn't allow it to end illegally?
I choked on my next words. After the unexpected rebuff, before I could come to my senses, Taisha threw herself at me with reproaches.
Amra, you have huge ears, so you probably also heard the Valkyrie from the Legion of Steel. The Undying had promised to set the imprisoned djinn free, but instead, they were going to kill him. You must have heard all that perfectly, admit it, but you did nothing. How are you any better than the Undying that tricked the djinn or destroyed my home village of Tish, considering them mere mobs to be killed unceremoniously? After all, these cases have a lot in common.
Well, damn. My own virtual girlfriend had made me feel shame. And I didn't know how to answer my NPC companion to make her understand. I couldn't just explain to a computer program that it would cause me huge problems both in Boundless Realm and the real world if I had tried to stop the Legion of Steel. And if I had purposely set the Djinn Sultan against them, it would be even worse. But Taisha was not going to close her mouth, continuing to dress me down.
Anyhow, if you had simply expressed disagreement, the most powerful djinn sultan Al-Hassan Godsbane would have spared your life. Al-Hassan is the only one there who acted nobly and honestly. He didn't kill all the undying, even though he had both the ability and right to do so. Al-Hassan Godsbane killed only those who had tricked him and prevented him from getting free. And right before he disappeared, scattering most of his enemies and driving the rest away, the Sultan of the Djinn returned to me and thanked me for his freedom. And, seeing how I wasted the valuable wish on his freedom, The jinn promised to come help me and bail me out of problems 3 times.
Whoa. She now had a very powerful ally who had proved himself capable of dispersing a well-organized team of top players all by himself, and she could call him 3 times. Taisha's wasted wish had earned her a very cool companion. That didn't do much for me, though. After waiting for the beautiful goblin to say her fill, I asked her what had happened after the jinn got free.
At first, all the surviving undying were very angry, confused, and didn't understand what had happened. But after that, they very quickly realized I had set the jinn free.
Did they curse at you? Threaten you? I guessed, but was mistaken.
It was actually the opposite. I was asked a few questions about my race, my life, and my relatives. The undying wanted to know literally everything. I told them honestly about my childhood in the village of Tish, my family, meeting you, and our marriage. There were so many unbelievably powerful and blindingly beautiful members of every race under the sun. I have never before felt such attention from the undying. I was praised for doing the right thing and not letting the glorious Legion of Steel break an oath. I was showered with gifts and asked to join their clan. I have never been heaped with compliments like that in my entire life.
Taisha smiled from the pleasant memories. Clearly, my companion was very happy with the attention and streams of flattery poured on her by the Legion of Steel, competing in eloquence and applying their whole arsenal of charms, spells, and skills.
The head of the clan, Till Quickfingers, Legion, the best thief in all Boundless Realm, offered to let me be his companion. He promised to teach me all his thief wisdom in just a week, so that I could go with him on all kinds of interesting adventures. But still, I refused, because I swore before the gods to be with you, Amra. That is precisely what I said to him. He didn't argue, and soon went back through the portal. But before they left, they asked me to think hard about whether to stay weak and pitiful with you, or rise up to the level of the gods of Boundless Realm with them.
Everything became extremely clear to me. The players of the Legion of Steel quickly realized how unusual an NPC Taisha was and were interested in her. And really, how could they not be? She was an NPC that got quests, calmly walked through their barrier, which only players could cross, had her own point of view, and basically just behaved totally independently. Blowing up at her with rage for releasing the djinn was totally senseless, and the strongest clan in the game would never act so low. But they still did try to take the unique NPC thief girl away from me. They had praised her to the heavens, given her gifts. What girl, even if virtual, didn't love gifts and compliments? They'd probably told her a bunch of negative things about me. What was it that I'd heard slip through in Taisha's speech? Weak and pitiful? That must have been where the fall in loyalty came from, too. It was actually strange they didn't manage to convince her in the end. Clearly, my connection with Taisha was very strong to begin with, as even these players from a top clan were not able to tear her away. But they had significantly weakened that connection, and Taisha's next words confirmed that.
I'll admit, Amra, I don't feel that you need me at all. All this time, you've never said a single word of kindness to me. You have no interest in me at all. You're always busy with your own stuff. Over the last 5 days, you've showed up a few times, and didn't even find any time to talk to me. Just tell me, what good is a husband like that?
Mission received. Taisha's disenchantment. Mission class. Unusual. Racial. Time limited. Description. Managed to convince your NPC wife in less than 10 minutes that you really are good enough to be her husband. Reward. 16,000 experience. +5 to Taisha's opinion of you. +1 charisma. Penalty for failure. -30 to Taisha's opinion of you. Event Taisha's departure will trigger.
Taisha's departure?
Now I really was afraid. No matter how flighty the green-skinned beauty was, I really didn't want to lose her. Sure, I couldn't get used to the idea that I had an official wife in the game, and didn't experience the tender feelings that Taisha wanted, but I was accustomed to her, and found her fun and useful. Also, one of the reasons my clips were so popular was my beautiful goblin companion. So I would have to fight for Taisha.
Just 10 minutes? So little time.
But I understood that pouring out like a nightingale and starting to whisper sweet nothings to my wife now was senseless, as was telling her I'd had a sudden flare-up of passion. First of all, Taisha was smart and would easily detect that I was being false. Second, I was sure not to outdo the Legion of Steel's professional charmers, who had brainwashed my NPC companion just an hour ago. I needed to act a bit differently. But how? What separated me from the other players? I was a goblin, just like Taisha. I should take advantage of that, all the more so given that the quest description said racial. Taisha, the last few days have been harder than I was expecting, and I haven't had the time to give you the attention you deserve. But I'll correct all that tonight.
And how are you going to do that?
My green-skinned girlfriend asked.
Tonight, I said, fitfully trying to think something up. It's the night of the Wolf Riders.
I've never heard of that.
What are you talking about? I asked, feigning amazement. It's one of the most celebrated goblin holidays. Maybe in your village of Tish, there weren't any wolves to ride, so you didn't celebrate it? It was actually goblins that invented riding in the first place. Our far-off ancestors were the first to saddle a wolf many centuries before humans even tamed the first horse. Ever since then, there has been an ancient connection between goblins and wolves, and Night of the Wolf Riders is one of our most beloved holidays, especially among young goblins.
I was spinning pure nonsense, whatever came to mind, all the time keeping an eye on the countdown timer, which showed how long I had to finish the quest. Taisha then nodded unconfidently, digesting the information. Finally, the girl inquired,
"And how is this night celebrated?"
Young goblin boys and girls ride their wolves as far into the night as they can, to places far from the prying eyes and ears of their meddlesome parents, where there are no nosy neighbors, and they won't be tripping over curious babies. When they get away, they act foolish, chase one another, compete in strength and agility. This is the celebration where young boys meet their future girlfriends, and couples can finally be alone together without the older generation bothering them.
Taisha thought intensively in silence. It seemed to me that I had made a wrong move and led the situation into a dead end, having gotten caught in too deep a lie.
Successful charisma check. Experience received, 160 experience. Successful check for Taisha's opinion. Experience received, 400 experience.
The red-headed beauty started smiling unexpectedly. Her eyes lit up with a happy flicker.
What a wonderful holiday!
Too bad it wasn't celebrated in Tish. And this is a moonlit night, just right for a romantic outing.
But I don't have my own wolf, and all members of the Grey Pack belong to you and only listen to you.
Also, after a whole day walking in the desert, I have no interest in seeing more of these dreary sand dunes all around.
But I'd never refuse flying with you on the Wyvern.
I tried to object. But Vixen is too little to fly with two on her back.
If that's what you call little, Taisha snorted. Your flying snake has already shot up to 8 steps long. She could swallow a person whole. But if you're right, and she still doesn't have the strength, do you want to know how to give your winged snake a few levels in one go? After all, you have 2 more Ifrit hearts.
Wait, stop. I asked Taisha how she even knew about the contents of my inventory, and how she wasn't ashamed to steal my things. Her reaction was unexpected.
That isn't true. I didn't steal anything. I just looked at your things when we were standing next to the djinn. And so what? Is that not allowed? And I only took what belonged to me. After all, I found the Ifrit heart. You just asked me to look at it, but instead of giving it back, you popped it in your mouth and wolfed it down.
What a bizarre interpretation of events. For a second, I even wished I'd failed Taisha's disenchantment. But I quickly got myself back together and didn't even express myself too rudely. Instead, I ordered my companion to remove every more or less heavy item from her inventory and promised to do the same, so the Royal Forest Wyvern would be able to take off with both of us on her back. Taisha didn't argue. 30 seconds later, on a carpet in the center of the tent, there was a towering mountain of 7-sided silver coins, a heap of magic scrolls, a whole set of armor and weapons from the Kingslayer set, a porcelain statuette of a dancing girl, which I had been looking for, thinking I'd forgotten it on White Shark, a leather case with a bunch of magic elixirs, a heavy ring of lockpicks, a dwarven monkey wrench, and a few pretty baubles and trinkets the thief had managed to pilfer during our journey. Taisha had taken only a couple daggers, and was wearing only the practically weightless thief's outfit I'd given her so long ago. I also took almost all the coins and the majority of my things out of my inventory, leaving just the minimum necessary reserve of alchemical elixirs, my blowgun, and some ammunition. Vixen came to my first call, and although she did give a few dismayed hisses and flashes of her poisonous fangs, even allowed both riders to get up on her back. I had to sit first, otherwise my winged mount refused to obey. It was too bad. I had been hoping to hold on to my companion's nice body during the flight. She looked so beautiful in the form-fitting dark clothes.
"We're flying toward Dotur Kawe," I told Taisha,
and she didn't object in the slightest.
"Let's get on our way. I finally feel like your wife. Let's celebrate this wonderful night,"
the girl shouted out provocatively, embracing me firmly by the shoulders. I set my mount's trajectory for the subterranean city of the dwarves, and Vixen tore off into the night sky, flapping her huge wings.
Mission completed. Taisha's disenchantment. Reward, 16,000 experience. Taisha's opinion of you has increased to plus 55. Charisma increased by plus 1. Riding skill increased to level 19. Animal control skill increased to level 16. Level 42.
It seemed the situation was gradually starting to blow over. I'd already gotten back the level I'd lost by dying, and my relationship with Taisha was getting back to where it had been. I was hoping greatly that it was a good sign, meaning my unlucky streak of difficulties and failures was over, both in real life and the virtual world. We flew in the night sky over the desert. From this perspective, it seemed to be made of pure silver. Taisha howled in elation and thanked me for the wonderful journey. But just taking my NPC girlfriend for a ride on my winged mount was not my aim. And also, my boss might not like to see me spending my time this way, which he would see as pointless, even if I was flying to Dotur Kawe, not just because, but to get a package I'd acquired at auction. I still had the potential unique quest, Taisha's Rebellion. So, for that reason, continuing to laugh and joke with my green-skinned girlfriend, I thought through the options of how to bring Taisha to that state. I could see that I needed to act extremely delicately here. On the one hand, I needed to make her upset, but I could not afford to allow an irreversible situation like Taisha's departure. We'd already been flying for around a half hour, and I still couldn't think up anything good enough for the quest. Vixen then started to clearly sag. The flapping of her broad, leathery wings was becoming more and more frequent and abrupt. I was looking for somewhere flat and secluded to take the wyvern in for a landing.
"Great,"
said Taisha, approving of my actions. She was no longer in a fun mood and had sharply grown serious.
"This is just what we need, a solitary place for a most serious conversation."
Taisha's Rebellion. As soon as Vixen touched down on the sand, the gray pack appeared next to me in full formation. My girlfriend was very surprised by that. She thought the wolves, wargs, and mythical hound would be left far behind.
"Well, they're my companions, so they will always appear next to me, if they die or get too far away," I explained.
"And me too?"
the girl cringed in dissatisfaction.
"After all, after I die and am reborn, I always show up next to you again."
I nodded in silence, trying to guess what exactly my NPC bride was implying. After all, Taisha clearly had something she wanted to talk about. The last thing she'd said during our flight seems to imply she had some kind of plans.
"Amra, I'm not satisfied with this pitiful role. I don't want to be your shadow anymore. I want to be independent. And also, you're a goblin yourself, and you know our laws. Only the strongest has the right to command. And I'm stronger than you now, so I want to be free of your meddlesome guardianship. I can take care of myself now and make my own independent decisions. Why aren't you saying anything?"
I was just watching to see how my NPC girlfriend's flash of discontent would end. If Taisha thought I would get upset at the demonstration of disobedience or try to talk her out of it, she was deeply mistaken. Using my positive relationship and modifiers, I might be able to talk to the girl and get her over her present dismay. But I didn't want to. In fact, behind the careless look on my face, I was trying to hide an internal glee. Could it really be that this was leading to the unique quest, Taisha's Rebellion? Without waiting for me to answer, the girl continued her speech,
gradually heating up more and more.
Amra, we are bound by a holy oath, so I cannot simply up and leave. But I know a way out now. I will call the gods of Boundless Realm as witnesses and challenge you to a duel, one-on-one, right here and now.
Everything became clear to me at once. So, this was where all the disobedience had come from. The experienced players of the Legion of Steel had pinned down the reason for all their failed attempts to lure Taisha to their side. Taisha was bound to me by a divine oath, which they were powerless to break. All the same, the players knew the rules and had told Taisha a way to break this bond. Rebel. Challenge me to a duel and call the gods as witnesses. But I couldn't understand why the rebellion quest had yet to trigger. Clearly, I'd have to talk to my defiant NPC girlfriend and figure out all the conditions of the duel.
Taisha, I can understand your motivation, but explain to me what I have to gain from that. I'm fine with our current situation, so why should I want to fight with you?
Apparently, the goblin girl wasn't expecting me to refuse, and even got confused. But then, the lack of confidence on Taisha's face changed into determination.
You have to fight. My stake in this battle is freedom and status as your wife. If the battle goes my way, you will completely lose power over me. I'll be able to go wherever I want and be whoever I want, and be reborn wherever I choose. But if you win, you can set a punishment for disobedience, and I'll agree in advance to any sentence. But I have one condition. The battle must be one-on-one. None of your beasts can interfere. And I will not use my right to summon the Jinn Sultan, even though I can.
Well, that's fair, I agreed, and gave an order to the Grey Pack, and also Vixen to rest and not interfere no matter what happened.
Mission received. Taisha's Rebellion. Mission class. Unique. Personal. Description. Defeat Taisha in a ritual duel. Reward. 40,000 experience. Fame plus one. 1 week bonus of plus 50 to Taisha's opinion of you, plus 100 to any checks for Taisha's loyalty. Absolute protection against any relationship decreases with Taisha. Penalty for failure. Minus 50 to Taisha's opinion of you, minus 10 to Goblin Race opinion of you. Event Taisha's departure will trigger.
Finally, I read into the mission conditions. What could I say? It was harsh. Go big or go home. All or nothing. But what was so unique about this mission? After all, unique quests were usually accompanied by proportionally valuable rewards. Just then I saw only the ability to get, instead of a lively and interesting Taisha, a fully obedient NPC doll, in no way different from stupid bots, controlled by simple program scripts. Did I even need that? I valued Taisha for, among other things, how unusual and unpredictable she was, which meant she was sometimes even contrarian. I had no desire to break the NPC girl and make her an obedient slave. Although, I still did need to prove who was in charge of our group. Her current behavior just crossed every line.
I summon the gods of Boundless Realm to witness our duel and swear to fight honorably,
Taisha declared smugly, and I repeated after her. Next to us, with a deafening crack, a blindingly bright bolt of lightning struck the sand. The gods had heard our oaths. All right, time to get started. I'd already known my strategy for some time. Hold the thief girl at a distance, threaten her with my throwing net, and shoot her with my blowgun. Sure, Taisha did have the crossbow, and she could also shoot from a distance, but her skill level with that weapon was just 3, giving me a clear advantage. Taisha could also go invisible, using her stealth skill, but she could not shoot while invisible. What was more, the bright moon and open space of the desert didn't favor stealth, so I was hoping to see the girl by using my vampire ability's night vision and search for life. And if Taisha decided to come in for close combat and take out her daggers, I was hoping to immobilize her with the throwing net and hold her down with my greater strength. But the green-skinned thief girl caught me by surprise. One moment, and instead of the flexible female figure in thin dark clothing, I had a woman warrior before me, vested in an emerald suit of dragonskin armor. The full Kingslayer set, probably with insane bonuses to agility, damage, crits, and all that. The situation sharply turned against me.
My emotions must have been reflected on my face, because Taisha gave a happy chuckle.
What, Amra? Not expecting this? Did you think I'd be standing before you in that ultra-thin, form-fitting clothing, all vulnerable and defenseless? No. I was never planning to return to that desert oasis, so I took all my items and coins with me. And I took yours, too. I'm gonna need them in my journeys. By the way, you could still even out the chances by eating one or even two Ifrit hearts. Don't be ashamed. I'll wait.
For a moment, the thought of eating an Ifrit heart and gaining 10 levels really did flicker past in my mind. But I didn't do it. I just looked more carefully at Taisha's equipment, especially the 2 throwing daggers, which she was deftly twirling in her hands, and laughed right in her face.
No, Taisha, I have no need to waste an invaluable item. I'm already quite sure of my victory. In fact, you've already lost, even though you don't know it. However, if you put away your weapons right now and surrender, I will take mercy on you.
Instead of answering, Taisha went invisible. Holy cow, that was unexpected. I couldn't see the thief girl, despite all my skills. Neither search for life nor night vision were of any help. Unpleasant, of course. But all in all, that didn't change anything. I waited, looking around carefully from side to side, doing my best not to present my back for a strike. A thief stabbing you in the back with a dagger was considered critical in all games, dealing damage that was increased by many times, and Boundless Realm was no exception. Successful perception check. Experience received, 80 experience.
Sand.
To be more accurate, footprints appearing in it. Now, I knew for certain where the NPC thief was located, and pretending it was a coincidence, I tried to turn my face in that very direction.
Successful perception check. Experience received, 160 experience.
Sound. My huge, sensitive ears picked up the sifting of dry sand in little pebbles, as well as the rustling of my opponent's leather clothing.
Successful perception check. Experience received, 320 experience.
Smell. Now this was an obvious error on Taisha's part. The girl had used cosmetics, and my nostrils could distinctly discern the scent of her powders, pomades, and floral perfumes. The wolves of the Grey Pack could also detect the strong smell and were following Taisha's movements by turning their snouts. My green-skinned girlfriend had never been distinguished by patience. After just 4 minutes, she got tired of spinning circles around me. I first caught the sound of her clothes rustling as she wound up, then the whistle of a throwing dagger in flight. In theory, I could calmly dodge the flying danger, but I didn't actually want to. I intentionally let the throwing knife hit me.
Damage taken, 285, 659 dagger strike, minus 46 armor, 50% defense against physical damage. Bleeding effect, 30 damage per second, lasts 20 seconds. Successful check for poison resistance. Successful constitution check. The bleeding has stopped.
Although my health bar went down to 1,563 of 1,848, it was still in the green. In theory, I could calmly survive a strike from the second throwing knife. Taisha became visible, now preparing to make another throw, but she couldn't get it off. I pulled the razor-sharp serrated dagger from my shoulder and simply placed it in my inventory. At that very second, the throwing knife fell out of Taisha's hand, and almost all my attractive companion's clothing dropped off her at once, leaving her in nothing but tiny lacy undergarments. And though that was unexpected to the now practically naked girl, I had been anticipating this moment since the very beginning of the duel. I immediately threw my net at the confused thief girl, lost in her own fallen armor.
Exotic weapon skill increased to level 14.
Taisha came back to her senses fairly quickly. Just a second later, the girl had another set of daggers in her hands and was trying to cut the net off her body. But she couldn't. I didn't catch her just so she could run away so easily. My Amra was next to her instantly, holding her down by both wrists.
Successful strength check. Experience received, 200 experience. Successful strength check. Experience received, 400 experience. Successful strength check. Experience received, 800 experience.
The thief girl was squirming vigorously, clearly not believing that my weak goblin herbalist with lower level than her could hold her down. This spasming could go on for a very long time yet, so I had to squeeze my fingers even harder.
Successful strength check. Experience received. 1,600 experience.
Taisha yelped in pain and unclenched her hands, causing both of her daggers to fall to the sand. I could read incomprehension, confusion, and fear in my companion's eyes. She still couldn't believe that she really had lost. I then picked up one of the fallen daggers and held it to the goblin beauty's neck, and Taisha stopped resisting.
Do I need to make a clear demonstration of my victory and send you to rebirth with loss of experience and level? Or are you just going to agree I won the duel?
I asked. And Taisha, after a second's pause, said distinctly,
No, you won. I can see that already. I admit before all the gods of Boundless Realm that I overestimated my abilities and lost the duel. Amra, you are my unquestioned sovereign, and I am prepared to take whatever punishment you give me.
Mission completed. Taisha's rebellion. Experience received. 40,000 experience. Fame increased. Present value, 7. Level 43.
After quickly throwing the stat points into their habitual scheme, strength and constitution were raised by 1 point with every level automatically, and I added 1 to agility and 2 to charisma, I turned to my NPC companion. Taisha, still entangled in the throwing net, was just sitting motionless on the sand next to the pile of fallen equipment. With a purposely rude and authoritarian voice, I ordered her.
First, stand up. Spread out that cloak on the sand and set all your things on it. I want it all to be there. You cannot keep any secrets from your master.
Taisha stood up meekly, untangled herself, and threw the net off, after which she began piling things from her bag and pockets onto the cloak. The shimmering Kingslayer armor, a whole mountain of coins and scrolls, a lustrous black warg pelt, the very same porcelain statuette. What was that even worth to Taisha? The dark thief's clothes, my elixirs and alchemy ingredients. The very last things to fly onto the pile were her lacy underwear, a ring with onyx inset and gold earrings with sapphires. The green-skinned girl, her cheeks crimson in embarrassment, was standing in front of me, covering her nakedness with her hands and expecting further commands. Now, when I told her to set her items out, I had meant just the contents of her inventory, not her jewelry or underwear. But still, I didn't stop the girl. Knowing how easily embarrassed my companion was, this would be a lesson to her. I ordered her to spread her arms, then unhurriedly walked around Taisha, frozen in fear, looking shamelessly at the nice curves of the naked beauty at my own pace.
You know, I should make you walk into the desert looking just like this, so you will never again feel a desire to raise a hand against your master.
I threatened the girl severely, and understood by the frightened expression on her face that the threat was taken extremely seriously.
And also, I forbid you from ever again using stealth around me, or stealing from me, to once and for all break this habit of stealing your master's things.
Picking up the onyx ring from the heap of items, I spun the unfamiliar object in my hands. I could not determine its properties, and asked if this was the object that could summon the djinn.
Yes, that's the one, Taisha confirmed.
I threw the valuable ring back with the other things and continued talking with the NPC thief.
Now, I need honest answers to a whole lot of questions, because you have been acting very strangely for the last few days.
First of all, I asked a few questions about the reasons for my girlfriend's pent-up dismay. However, I didn't learn anything new. Taisha assured me, as before, that goblins generally obey the strongest, and I had allowed my wife to doubt my strength and thus right to be leader.
And you didn't think, with your bird brains, that I might not want to attract excessive attention and demonstrate my true power? It didn't occur to you that my goblin herbalist might look weak and inoffensive on purpose, so no one would guess a powerful vampire is hidden in this fragile body? Just watch!
I walked up to a massive boulder and, without apparent strain, lifted it with one hand, demonstrating Amra's strength. After that, I took one of the thief girl's reserve daggers and easily snapped it with just 3 fingers. Her eyes went wide in astonishment. She wasn't expecting such a funny and frail-looking goblin herbalist to be able to do that.
Forgive me, master. I was wrong. I only saw that you weren't even capable of holding me close or pulling off my clothes when I was in a frisky mood and pretending to try and get out of your embrace. If I had gotten even the slightest hint that all this weakness was faked, I'd never have doubted your strength. I immediately reminded her of the story on the white shark pirate Byream, when I had kissed Taisha in the captain's cabin, but she twisted out of my embrace and sent me a sharp lowering of her opinion. It turned out that was an element of play from my green bride. Whoa! Actually, my strength and constitution had only grown significantly long after that incident in the bunk, due to the bonus from two items from Fenrir's cursed regalia. All the same, I didn't clarify that, because Taisha didn't need to know. I continued asking my questions. Now I was interested in all the smallest details of what had happened after Taisha had made her wish to the djinn. What questions had the Undying from the Legion of Steel asked her? What had they done? Used spells on her? What had the Undying discussed amongst themselves? Above all else, I was worried that Taisha might have let slip that I was a vampire. On that account, the thief girl reassured me. No one had asked her about vampirism, but if anyone had asked such a question, she wouldn't have been able to tell them the truth. Taisha reminded me that she had sworn an oath before the gods to keep my secret, and no one could make her violate it. It was as if a stone fell from my shoulders. But, as it turned out, not for long. I asked about Fenrir's cursed regalia, and Taisha said the very last thing I wanted to hear.
Yes, the Undying really did ask me about that.
And what did you tell them?
I asked, my voice cracking in anxiety.
I told them everything I knew. My husband had long held the amulet of Fenrir, which gives some useful reinforcements to your wolves, but that you could only put it on after eating the Ifrit heart. I don't know anything else about the Fenrir stuff.
I didn't curse Taisha out for her chattiness. First of all, it was too late to change anything, no matter what, and my words of rage didn't overcome the regrettable fact that my secret, that I was trying to collect the entire set of Fenrir's cursed regalia, had become known to other players. Second, it would have been totally unfair to blame this on my companion. I had already figured out that the players of the Legion of Steel must have placed a huge number of spells and effects on her, starting with charming a humanoid and intoxicating flattery, and ending with elixir of truth. Taisha couldn't not answer the questions they asked, and she could only answer with the truth and nothing but. But what Taisha said next forced me to first shout out in fear and dismay, then start thinking in the most serious fashion.
The most important Undying around me was Till Quickfingers, and he demanded his servants find out everything they could about Fenrir's stuff. Soon after that, an old man by the name of Alexander the Greatest told him one such item was stored in the storeroom of the main Legion of Steel Citadel. He said it was Fenrir's pelt, a unique cursed suit of fur armor that cannot be removed after it's put on. The old man rattled off some numbers to the thief, and Till Quickfingers scornfully replied with some strange phrase. I didn't understand a word of it. Shit for a unique, total dregs. After that, the Undying lost interest in the Fenrir stuff and changed the topic.
Taisha said everything she knew and fell silent, awaiting further instructions from her master. I finally allowed her to lower her hands and relax as I stood in agitation, thinking. So, one of the items I needed was in the Legion of Steel Citadel. That was bad. Very bad. I had no doubts that the Legion of Steel would refuse to sell the armor if I asked. Most likely, they would even get on guard if I started a conversation about it. After all, they didn't fully understand Taisha's uniqueness and didn't know that the NPC could tell someone else about their negotiations. Stealing an item from a top clan's storeroom was harder than getting gold from Fort Knox. Other than the usual watchman, there were probably so many guard spells packed in there that any criminal who got inside would be turned to ash on the spot. And taking the citadel of the strongest clan in the game by force was such a hopeless mission that I just needed to forget about it. So what now? Had my chance to gather the complete set simply been left by the wayside? Perhaps. I looked at the goblin girl, who was patiently awaiting my orders.
Taisha, how are you planning to get to Till Quickfingers after our duel?
The thief girl, no longer embarrassed at her naked body and even strutting a bit, gracefully pulled out her lithe leg and pointed with her fingers at a parchment bound with a ribbon.
There's the teleportation scroll. All I have to do is unfurl it, and I'll be brought wherever I need to go.
Interesting.
What if I took advantage of this chance to send Taisha to the Legion of Steel and get the item? It sounded extremely risky, and if the plan was revealed, the consequences for me personally promised to be extremely disastrous. But I didn't see any other way.
So then, Taisha, I heard your explanations carefully, and am prepared to tell you my decision.
The green-skinned beauty froze at complete attention. I even noticed her ears perk up.
As for you challenging me to a duel, I don't see anything reprehensible in your actions. You did exactly as a proud goblin girl should.
Taisha's opinion of you has increased by +10. I skimmed the text that popped up before my eyes, and surprisingly noticed that my girlfriend also seemed to be looking at something invisible. Could Taisha read game logs now? Impossible. But if that really was the case, influencing her using flattery and even finishing quests would become much more difficult, as the NPC girl would be able to guess exactly what happened. All the same, my guesses weren't confirmed, and I continued my speech.
But as for the theft of my things, you really did commit an offense and will be punished in the most serious fashion. But even more than the theft itself, I was hurt by your hypocrisy. I thought you were sincerely joyful to fly over the desert on my wyvern tonight, and grateful to me for the chance. But the entire time you had in your head that you were tricking your naive companion, running away with stolen items and not planning to return. That is loathsome, and I cannot forgive you so easily for such villainy.
Taisha grew ashamed. At the very least, the thief lowered her eyes in guilt, and I continued my speech.
And now, I have a bunch of questions for the leaders of the Legion of Steel. After all, they openly took advantage of your lack of experience and trusting nature, putting spells on you to get secret information, tricking you and using you for their own purposes. They used forbidden magic to gain your confidence and besmirch me in your eyes. They soiled my beautiful bride with their nasty wizardry and thought you a naive and obedient fool. So I am horribly mad at them.
Successful charisma check. Experience received. 160 experience. Successful check for Taisha's opinion. Experience received. 400 experience. It seems to me once again that the red-headed beauty was looking at a pop-up. 2 times now. That could not be a mere coincidence. Finally, Taisha smiled and said,
Amra, I'm insanely glad to hear that you care. And the thing I want most of all in this world is to atone for my sins against you. And so, if there's anything I can do for you, just tell me. I'll do anything, I swear.
I had been expecting something like that from my companion, but this was more than I was even hoping for. Taisha wanted to get back to our former good relationship. What could I say? I had just the proposal for how to get us there.
Till Quickfingers promised to quickly improve your skills and level. It would be stupid to refuse such a great chance for progress. So, you will take the teleportation scroll and go to the Legion of Steel.
Taisha gasped in surprise. With a gesture, I told her to wait for me to finish.
Before that, you will take all your things back and everything you took from me in the desert oasis. You will tell them you defeated me tonight in the divine duel in the desert. You didn't kill me, no. That's too easy to check. Just say you forced me to retreat, recognizing your victory. And you won't simply say that. You will sincerely believe it. And any magic checks will prove that you are not lying.
Why do I need that? Why do I need to fool them and also believe it myself?
Taisha was, to put it lightly, shocked by my words.
Don't interrupt. Keep listening. You will study all the wisdom of a master thief from the best one in Boundless Realm. You will take part in all Legion of Steel events, together with its head, Till Quickfingers, improving your level and skills. You will be sincerely glad at the ability to join the strongest undying clan and be a companion of its much-vaunted leader. You will demonstrate sincere joy at your new fate whenever they check, and will obey every order except utterly brazen acts of harassment, if such things come to pass. The only thing you will keep silent on is your unique ability to respawn after death. And if you do happen to get asked about that, tell them that both of your rebirths came after I called the Keeper and reached some understandings you are not aware of.
Taisha clearly didn't yet understand why I was saying all that to her, but still was nodding obediently, taking all the limitations into account. I continued my speech. In a few days, the Undying from the Legion of Steel will get used to you and start to trust you completely. You will probably be able to understand when that happens on your own. They will stop shunning you and start discussing secret things in your presence. And after that, as if by coincidence, you will start a conversation about Fenrir's pelt and ask them to show it to you using whatever excuse necessary. You're a smart girl and can probably think up a pretext on your own. I trust you on this. Your strange request will probably catch the attention of the leaders of the Legion of Steel, and any object you demand will be given, at the very least, out of curiosity, just to see what you'll do with it. And if the Undying of the Legion of Steel have any doubts, you can even joke that they can put an anti-magic dome around you so you won't slip away with the pelt. And now, the most important part. As soon as you make certain that they really did give you the very item you requested, the pelt of Fenrir is in your hands or inventory, you kill yourself immediately. The goblin beauty shuddered in fear, but I hurried to reassure Taisha that she would remain immortal as long as she stuck with me. Such was the promise made by the Keeper himself, and I had bought her eternal life for a very high price. You will simply return to me, much stronger and with an item that is very valuable to me. As soon as you do, you will immediately be completely forgiven. You will be my wife once again, a loyal girlfriend and my very closest companion, who I trust fully. Yes, all this will threaten me with lots of problems in the future. The players in the Legion of Steel will realize that I tricked them, and they will huff and puff. But I cannot forgive them for using their dirty magic to try and steal my beautiful wife from me. This will be my revenge on the Legion of Steel.
Amra, I simply cannot find the words to express my admiration. You are willing to make such powerful enemies for my sake. I will do everything you ask, I promise. And then I will return to you and regain your trust. But before I use the portal scroll and leave you for some time, I want to give you a gift.
The naked beauty Taisha blushed in embarrassment and started giggling uncontrollably, tousling her fiery red hair. She then picked up a fine black warg pelt from the pile of things and laid it out on the sand. After that, she laid down on the thick fur, spread her legs wide, and made a come-hither gesture.
My master, today you showed fully that I chose the right husband. I doubted you for a long time and delayed this heart-pounding moment, but after this magical night, you deserve me like never before.
Subterranean City. I had never experienced such utter bliss from being with a woman. All of my previous experience with sex, with all kinds of real-world girlfriends, and even nights of love with Kira, had been a faint shadow of the sincerely magical sensations I felt with the NPC girl Taisha. In the virtual boundless realm, everything was simply ideal, the way one can only dream of. Taisha was passionate and insatiable, at times tender, at times wild, at times violent, and at times submissive, but at every second, sincere and loving. I could feel that. I wanted to extend these moments of sweetness indefinitely. The night was too short for us to get enough of one another. But unfortunately, morning came. Taisha and I were sitting in embrace on the soft black pelt, watching the pinkening sky in the east. As vexing as it may have been, the magical night of love had come to an end. I need to fly to the dwarven city of Dotur Kawe so I can get under the earth before the sun comes up, I said, straining massively to gather my will into a fist, break our sweet embrace and stand up.
Yes, Amra, it's time for you to fly away,
Taisha agreed with pity, also standing and gathering her strewn about things.
I'll be so lonely without you these next few days.
You won't, because you'll hide your memories of this night in the deepest recesses of your mind, I reminded my girlfriend. And in a few days, we'll be together again, and you will remember everything.
Yes, Amra, that's exactly right,
Taisha confirmed, smiling sadly.
But I really don't want to leave you. I'm now certain there's no one I can trust or get on better with than you. I want to press myself up against you, pour out my soul and share all my secrets. I've never revealed this to anyone in my life, but I can simply open up to you.
I was getting dressed just then, preparing to fly away on Vixen, and figured Taisha's admission was nothing but fine words, coming out due to the emotional overload of our night of love. But what kind of secrets could the NPC girl have, even if she was so advanced and sweet? All the same, Taisha's next words caught my attention.
Amra, do you want me to tell you the whole truth about what happened after the djinn was set free? After all, I could clearly see the undying from the Legion of Steel working me with their magic. I read exactly what spells they were using on me and what effect they achieved. I understood it all perfectly, but did nothing to stop it. In fact, I wanted them to work.
What? I froze, having forgotten about my plan to fly and unable to hide my amazement.
But why, Taisha?
It's just that yesterday, the world changed for me. I didn't even understand myself exactly how it happened, but at a certain point, I started seeing everything through the eyes of the undying. Hints everywhere, little bits of text, everything in my usual world was reflected with dry numbers. It must be so boring for your kind. There's no real friendship, only increasing relationship numbers. No risk, just crude calculation before a duel. Anyone you come across is just a set of statistics. Much became clear to me. Experience, classes, missions, skills, reputation. I had heard these terms many times in your conversations with your sister and friends, but only yesterday realized exactly what they meant.
Now that was news. Taisha had really become more and more undying in the usual sense of the word. She had even practically realized that the world around her was just a game. She only had a few more steps to go before she reached that conclusion herself. The NPC thief girl then continued her story.
At a certain point, I came to the sad conclusion that you were no better than the rest of the undying. That to you, I was nothing more than some bot, whose opinion you'd increased by completing a few quests and artificially calling me to you. Realizing that was very hurtful. Then I decided that if I was fated to be the companion of some undying, then let it truly be the strongest master. For example, someone like Till Quickfingers, leader of the strongest clan. That was precisely why I took the leader's shadow skill. Yes, I'll admit, I wanted to leave you. I was such a fool. How wonderful that you managed to keep me by your side. But now, after revealing my secret, I can go with a clean conscience to complete my mission. Personal quest, becoming his true wife, with variable reward. See you in a few days. Expect to see me much stronger and with the pelt of Fenrir.
I now had a lot of questions for Taisha, but the goblin beauty had already managed to unfurl the teleportation scroll and disappear in a flash of light. I picked up my fallen jaw. Look at that. Apparently, the words I'd said to my girlfriend had transformed into a personal quest for Taisha. I just barely made it, driving Vixen on so hard my winged snake could barely stay in the air. There was just 1 minute and a half before the sun would rise when I jumped off the Royal Forest Wyvern and ran to the entrance of the subterranean city. The dwarven guards looked me over carefully, but didn't stop me, and I entered Dotur Kawe. Just in the nick of time. It was 6 o'clock in the morning, and the edge of the deadly sun had already appeared over the horizon. After quickly catching my breath, I started making a plan. At first, I had to pick up the package and get my new item fitted. Then I'd find the craftsman district and pick up some equipment appropriate to my level 43 goblin herbalist and replace the old stuff I'd bought back in the village of Tish. Yes, I also should visit some subterranean alchemists and herbalists, given the chance, and exchange the huge amount of Bank of Thorin the Ninth notes for real silver and gold, which was no work at all in Dotur Kawe. For 1 7-sided silver coin, the first dwarven boy I came across led me to the trade guild, a whole underground floor with lots of separate rooms and corridors leading into the unknown darkness. Fortunately, I didn't have to look for long, and a polite dwarven trader told me where I could pick up the package. All I had to do was introduce myself, and a package of thick folded paper became my property. Wolf claws. My purchase was a set of raggedy gloves with long, sharp steel claws like daggers. In the item's characteristics, My eyes were immediately met with a bright red warning flashing alarmingly, saying the item was cursed, so once donned, it could never be removed. To be more accurate, there were ways to rid oneself of cursed items, but they were all very complicated and expensive. There were no mentions of the item belonging to a Set, though, and I really could get into a complicated situation by putting on the utterly unneeded and also relatively weak cursed item. But for some reason, I had no doubts that Valeriana's intuition had not misled me. And I was not wrong. As soon as I put the gloves on, the item's characteristics changed. Fenrir's Front Paws, unique item. Plus 50% melee damage, 17% of damage dealt goes toward healing self, immunity to fear, immunity to charms. You have equipped 3 items from Fenrir's Cursed Regalia. Set bonus unlocked. All members of the Grey Pack will receive a bonus of plus 75 strength, plus 75 agility, plus 75 constitution, plus 50% movement speed, plus 50% experience gain. Mission completed. Fenrir's Legacy. 1 of 4. Reward. 100,000 experience, plus 10 animal control, plus 50 strength, plus 50 agility, plus 50 constitution. Grey Pack member limit raised to 12. Level 44. Level 45. You may now choose your first specialization in the animal control skill. I'll admit, at first I was very glad. Then I got afraid. Yes. Yes, a true wave of panic swept over me. I was on the path to sharply increasing my character's strength, and there was no way back now. My goblin herbalist was gradually changing from the peaceable, goofy plant gatherer my audience had grown accustomed to, into a terrifying, bloodthirsty alpha of a fierce pack of predators. Yes, my big-eared goblin's appearance was purposely inoffensive, but I couldn't hide the true strength of my character forever, and the truth might not be to everyone's liking. Amra already had plenty of ill-wishers in Boundless Realm due to the unique flying mount, but now, on the path to becoming the reincarnation of Fenrir, a true horror of Boundless Realm, I would certainly be gaining many more enemies. Beyond that fact, I would get many more enemies when my vampiric essence was revealed. And then in the future, if I did manage to gather the whole set of cursed wolf armor, my character would just be declared a criminal. No matter how I looked at it, that was a ghastly perspective. But I was not planning to get off my chosen path. Only forward. Only hardcore. The mission now was extremely clear. Get stronger in as compressed a time frame as possible, while my character still had the chance. New levels, new equipment, improved vampiric abilities. But the main thing was looking for the still unknown objects from Fenrir's cursed regalia. The claws, fortunately, didn't have any level requirements, and could be put on without even eating a single Ifrit heart. I was very much counting on eventually getting the other 2 objects, Fenrir's pelt and Fenrir's paws, and the 2 Ifrit hearts I had would allow me to don those items, even if my level wasn't high enough. All that remained a secret was the location of the last, 6th item in the set, and I was planning to search for it in the next few days. I distributed my new stat points, and now was frozen, staring at the first perk to animal control skill. I could choose to increase attack strength, endurance, defense against physical or magical attacks, or to add 1 more pet. I wanted all of that, but most of all, I wanted another pet. After carefully reading the skill description and perk hint, though, I realized with deep disappointment that the additional pet would not join the Grey Pack, so would be much, much weaker than the other animals and fairly useless to me. Increasing attack or defense of the Grey Pack would give a much greater beneficial effect. In the end, I decided to increase attack strength. After closing the stat window for my goblin herbalist, I left the underground floor of the trade guild, planning to get new equipment. But before I managed to ask the way to the local armory masters, bootmakers, and tailors, my attention was drawn by an emblem on the door of the neighboring shop. Variously colored cones, a mortar and pestle for powdering ingredients, bundles of herbs. The local alchemist? What could I say? I was planning to drop by an alchemist's, so I immediately headed for the door. Pyrona Zealous, level 65 dwarf alchemist. The owner of the shop was a red-headed bearded lady, quite tall for a dwarf, and so wide at the belt that she was almost spherical. The expression of dismay and fastidiousness she reflected when seeing a goblin on her doorstep gave way to a polite smile as soon as she took a closer look at me.
"Honored guest of Dotur Kawe! All right, then. What an important fellow visiting my shop! To what do I owe the honor, Mr. Amra?"